everyone, and thanks for joining Rob and myself back here on Throwback Reviews. It has been a long, long time. I think late June is when we recorded our last episode. But we went to the bookshelf, pulled the book off, blew the dust off, and here we are. Rob, what's going on, man? It's been so long.
6 months. It's like almost we could have had a throwback baby almost. Man,
yeah.
I don't even know. Like, where do you start? Like, well, I had pizza one day. I don't know.
Did we, yeah.
We could, like, we could just 6 months of all the stuff we ate.
we talked about like, you know, what are we going to do? And really, we've just been so busy. You know, you've been at school, work. I've had work, you know, kids, and I've been focusing on another podcast that I've been doing. So we just kind of put this on the shelf for a while, like I said, and we're dusting it off today. It's not over, although I'm sure it's been deleted from many podcast RSS feeds, but
we'll see
if anyone's around.
I mean, it doesn't cost you anything to leave it in there, and then it's like a Christmas miracle. It's like a little Christmas baby that shows up, you know, a New Year's miracle.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know if it's quite like that, but a nice little surprise. I mean, if people are like me, I mean, my podcatcher just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So, like, I'll be like, holy crap, I forgot there's even this show. So, you know, you know, we talk all the time. That's the one thing. I mean, you and I still talk all the time. And we've discussed bringing the show back or doing an episode, and then it just, life gets in the way. It's a tough thing, but I mean, we're both still very much into the retro scene, you know, watching movies, TV shows and music and everything. So it's not like we have the lack of interest for it. It's just, like I said, life is, you know, our kids are getting older and you going to college, man. That's just crazy.
That is a time suck for sure, man. I mean, it's, you know, going twice a week and it's an hour away. So that's, you know, 4 hours of driving right there, just driving back and forth. And then, you know, I'm sure there's a formula. I know there's a formula where they say, like, if you take so many hours of graduate school, like, you're supposed to do like 5 times that amount of work or something at home, you know? So, like, if you're taking 3 credit hours, you need to do 15 hours worth of work at home. Or, I mean, but all my classes now involve writing. You know, so, it's been a challenge to write other things, you know, like, I'm taking 2 classes or finished this last semester, 2 classes, one for nonfiction and one for fiction. And in both of them, we had to write, a lot, you know? And so then when you get up, and it doesn't seem like it would be the same, like, oh, well, I'm going to write for my blog, and that's different because obviously I talk about different things on my blog than I talk about, you know, or that I would write about at school, but it's still writing. It's still the same, you know, type of thing. And you just get burned out, you know?
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, that was probably one of the things I hated doing in school was to write. I had a buddy who would do some of my writing for me, my writing assignments. So, yeah, but I mean, you writing, you know, you have your blog and you used to do a lot of writing for the Retroist website and now to have to do something that, I mean, you're still being creative, like you said, but it's that school thing where the teacher's telling you what you have to be creative about.
Right, right. You know, and, like for the fiction writing, you know, like the assignment, it was like a one-on-one class. Like I went in and met with the professor once a week. And my assignment was to write the next chapter of a book and then the next chapter. So you're trying to crank out, you know, anywhere 5, 6, 7,000 words a week. And then the next week she would read that and say, you know, you need to fix these things plus go write another chapter, you know. So it kind of compounded as the semester went on, you know, so yeah, it's definitely a lot of work and I enjoy it. Like I like, that kind of stuff. But like you said, you know, we are retro kind of guys. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I watched some new movies and we're going to talk about one new movie later on, but I watched a lot. Like, I just over the past couple weeks, I've been, I noticed that there's a lot of Alfred Hitchcock movies that I haven't seen. So I've just been going through, and just watching these old movies, you know. And in fact, I kept a list of all the movies that I watched over the past year. And it's actually, it sounds kind of low to me. I just counted it up. It's 88 movies. I think I probably saw more than that, but that's all the ones that I remember to write down, you know. But, you know, I wrote down like the movie and the year they were released, and I'm just kind of scrolling through here, and there's a lot like, you know, from the 40s, from the 50s, you know, I like the old stuff, and of course, you know, we like new stuff too,
but it's that it's, I mean, that was the point of this, was the, you know, the drawback to our childhood, and I always get a kick out of it. And I think I've maybe got some heat for my responses on some of these reviews where, you know, to me, it's fun. It's fun to go back and to watch something that we loved as a kid, or you think you loved it as a kid, or, you know, mm-hmm. and then you watch it now and, you know, we've talked about it, and then I felt I've been a little harsh or whatever, but, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat if I think something is garbage, but I still enjoy going back and having that, you know, reliving that experience and everything. And I'm the same way, man, like throw me a 40s movie, whatever, old time radio. I'm a fan of all the old stuff. I mean, and like you said, I do enjoy modern shows and movies, but mm-hmm. I definitely have, you know, a love for older stuff.
Yeah, it's funny, and I think we've talked about this on Throwback, like with different movies before, but a lot of the versions of the movies that I remember seeing are the ones that were on cable, and so like I just watched The Jerk, Steve Martin, you know, and I was like, you know, I called my daughter in, and Morgan is 11 now. I'm like, hey, you're going to love this movie. We're watching it. And, all of a sudden, like there's some R-rated jokes in The Jerk,
yeah, well,
you know, that I just forgot
even
about.
Said the rating systems were so much different back then. You know, because, you know, yeah, we watch stuff and then we're like, oh, God, it was rated PG, but it was PG before there was PG-13 or,
right.
or whatever. So,
yeah, I mean, there's they don't show any nudity, but there's a sex scene, you know, when he moves in with that girl, the carny at the fair. And, you know, his dog's name is, his dog's name is Shithead. And he like keeps calling the dog. Yeah. And so, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff like that where, and this always happens, like whatever the worst possible scene is, that's when my wife will walk in and she's like, are you showing the kids, you know? And then Morgan's like, oh, his dog's name is Shithead. I'm like, oh, why would you repeat the one thing that, you know?
I still, my daughter and my wife will still throw at me that I was watching Murder, She Wrote with my daughter. Oh, God, it's probably like 2 years ago. She's probably eight. And I fell asleep and someone had gotten stabbed in the back, and like there was like TV show blood. You know what I mean? And,
right.
And she was freaked out, and I'm like, come on, it's Murder, She Wrote. How can you be scared of Murder, She Wrote?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that kind of leads me into something. And if you haven't noticed by the title, this, we really have, there's no set movie today for our show. This is more of just kind of, dusting off the mics in the book and getting things rolling again. But we had some stuff we want to talk about. But one of them was, and I doubt my wife will listen to this at all, but if she does by any chance, if you could try to explain, cause I haven't convinced her yet, what the draw is to watching old 80s commercials like on YouTube, like, you know, like she'll be doing something like, say she'll buy on a tablet or whatever, and I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna throw on like a playlist of 80s cartoon or 80s commercials. Mm-hmm. I just did it this past weekend, I think it was Christmas Eve or the day before, maybe it was 80s Christmas commercials, and it lasted I think we got through three of them, and she's like, yeah, no.
You know, I love that, because that takes you back even more than the shows do sometimes, you know. I mean, it really sets the time and the era. I mean, I think probably the most famous ones are like those Star Wars commercials, you know, where it'll show the kids and they're playing with, you know, some action figures and they'll have like, you know, the new Death Star from Kenner and they'll show something where, you know, they're like, oh, I'm in the trash compactor. Oh, you saved us, C-3PO, you know, and you're like, man, I remember being that kid. Like, I remember having my Death Star, and I remember, you know, seeing those commercials and being like, if only I had an Easy Bake Oven, I could make those little cakes, and I could, you know what I mean? Or, I mean, they made that stuff look so much fun. I mean, like, what are they? The color forms? I think that's what they're called. The little... They're like almost like a plasticky rubber thing, and you stick them on a background. Those color forms, yeah. Like I remember playing with those as a kid, right? And I was at a thrift store a while back, and I saw an unopened color forms Dick Tracy set from when the movie Dick Tracy came out, you know, with Warren Beatty, and Madonna. Right. Yeah, and I was, yeah. So I'm like trying to explain to my kids, like there was a time when this was really fun, you know, and this is like trying to explain to two kids that have iPads, like stuck to their faces, you know, that like moving around little rubbery pieces of plastic on a, on a printed out background is fun, you know? And, so anyway, I went back and I found some of those color forms commercials and watched it. And the kids are so excited on those commercials. I mean, that's what it makes you remember. Like when you saw how excited those kids were, I mean, no matter what it was, like, you know, you see some kid take a bite of Trix cereal and you're like, I want Trix cereal. I want to be as happy as that kid, you know, and you just have that memory of like being drawn to that stuff. You know, I don't think commercials, they're not the same like that anymore.
I don't think so. And her argument is, why are you watching what we fast forward through now? We have DVR. You don't watch commercials anymore, but I feel like they just aren't the same. And I mean, it's not even the toy ones. Like I will just watch, you know, it could be for like Hills departments, you know, Hills is where the toys are in those commercials, mm-hmm. or coffee commercials, Pepsi, like, any of that stuff. I don't care. And to be honest, I'm mentioning you writing for the Retroist, you know, they're pretty old episodes. He had two Christmas commercial episodes where it's just, he puts them together and, you know, there's the food ones, toy ones and everything. And like, I can listen to those in January. I can listen to them in December. I can listen to them in July or August. It just takes me back to totally being a kid because you didn't have that option as a kid, unless you were taping something with a VCR. And I don't know if you remember what it was like to program the VCR.
You watched
something and that was it. So you didn't, mm-hmm. you didn't have the option to fast forward to anything. So, but she grew up in the country. I don't think she watched as much TV. So maybe that's it.
When we went over to see my mom for Christmas, and we were talking about, you know, old TV shows and stuff. And she had got a 6-DVD set of television commercials. So it's 6 DVDs. They're older than 80s. I mean, they're probably like 40s, 50s, maybe 60s kind of stuff. I'm sure it's all just... You know, I don't know where they get them, if they get them online or something, you know, but, she was like, yeah, I haven't even watched it yet, you know, but if you want to borrow it, and I'm like, okay. And so, came home and each one is themed, you know, so I watched, there's one that's like vintage commercials, toys. So I watched that one, you know, and there's like Slinky commercials and stuff, but I mean, it's mostly like older kind of stuff. It doesn't even, you know, reach, the 70s. But one whole DVD is cigarette commercials. And I was amazed. Like, I haven't watched that whole one yet, you know, but You know, it's just from a different time, like just something that you know, we don't really see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, I listen to a lot of old-time radio, and there's so many of them where sponsored by the cigarette companies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just funny to – it's like – such a different time,
yeah.
You know, great tasting tobacco, and won't leave that you know taste in your mouth or whatever. And now, yeah, like you said, it's just completely different.
Yeah, there's one for like car commercials. There was the toy one. There's one that just said, I haven't watched it yet, but it said like commercials featuring celebrities. So I'm sure it's like people like before they were famous, you know, doing commercials and stuff. So it's kind of an interesting little. I'm sure it was like, you know, came from Sam's Club or Walmart or something. You know what I mean? Just like one of those cheapo packs, you know?
Yeah. I think for me, that would be more background noise, especially being from – because I do like that era as well, but I don't have the connection to it.
Right, right. Yeah, it's different, you know, when you see the 80s ones. I mean, like I remember someone posted some commercials recently where it was – commercial for Chicken McNuggets, you know what I mean? And wouldn't like, you know, we have that connection. Like I remember seeing that commercial and being like, I want to get Chicken McNuggets, you know, not because I thought they, you know, would sing or anything, but you know, like you just remember seeing those and wanting those products. So yeah, it's a different, trigger, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Would you believe that I never had Chicken McNuggets until my first son was born? Yeah,
really?
He's a toddler. Yeah. Never had them.
Did you?
Never had Chicken McNuggets.
Not just, they didn't sound appealing or?
Yeah. I mean, we had McDonald's. We had Burger King. I remember when they built the first McDonald's, they had the McDonald's that was in my hometown. It had the little tiny carousel inside. Did mm-hmm. you remember that?
Yeah. We had one that had like a whole indoor playground, like all the big toys, but it was indoor, but not the new kind. I mean, it had the merry-go-round. It had the Mayor McCheese where you crawled up in his head.
We had that, but it was outside. So being up in Buffalo, you could only use it in the summer. But inside was the little miniature merry-go-round. And it's gone now. And I've been there with my kids. And I'm like, right over there was that. And I could still picture it.
I can
remember sitting on it.
Yep.
I can remember sitting on it as I was older and getting yelled at to get off because we were too old. And I mean, I think I've looked them up and someone was selling one. I mean,
they're pricey. I've looked up there's a guy on I think it's eBay that sells the – you remember there was a Fry Guy thing that you could sit on by itself and it was just like a spring on the bottom so you would sit on like a rocking horse almost, you know, just spring.
Yeah.
And there's a guy that sells those and I think they're about $600 that. Right. So
but that's all gone now. Even you know was it the Hamburglar that you climb up in? And then there was a slide, I think, outside.
There was
that stuff's gone.
The Grimace thing. Remember that was like a big jail? Like,
yes.
And you kind of shaking around. Yeah. Yeah. And ours.
Yeah, that's all gone.
I don't know how yours, like, because ours was all in at this one particular one, because it was all indoors, it was all on like AstroTurf. So, like, you would get everybody on. You know, like the merry-go-round and some kid would just be spinning it and you would go flying off and then you would stand up and you would have like no skin on your knees and elbows because you just like went sliding on the AstroTurf.
Oh, no, dude. I don't remember if we had that because it was outside, but the merry-go-round that we had was motorized.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You
this
sat
was
on
like
it and I think it had four characters and you would sit on it. It was motorized. They would actually turn it on from behind the counter. So if kids got on, then they could turn it on.
Oh, no, I've never seen that. Yeah. Ours was just like the one you know, push people around and stuff.
And I believe it has a big yellow top that I guess would probably be like a hamburger bun maybe or something. I'm going to have to look it up and put it in the show notes and see if anybody else remembers that, because that was inside, actually in the restaurant. And now it's just a couple small, like the two people booths type of thing. But
for my birthday this year, Susan, and we had talked about this earlier, And Susan tracked down a McDonald's that was able to order one of those, the old style McDonald's birthday cakes. You remember those for the birthday parties that were just like,
I never got to go to a birthday party at McDonald's. I did go to one at Burger King.
Yeah. It's like
that. Back then, like, well, now you can go to Burger King and they have crowns already made and they're on the counter.
Right, right.
I'm always, you know, grabbing some for my kids. But I remember back then, I was like, you only got them when you went to an actual birthday. And then they had like a little plastic hand puppet with Burger King on there.
I remember those. Yeah, this was the McDonald's birthday cake is like super dry and crumbly and dense, but then it's frozen. And then they put the icing on it. So they keep them in the freezer, you know. So when you got it, it would be like rock hard, you know, because they like cut through it because it's frozen, you know. And I would always tell her, like, man, like, I remember having that as a kid. And I'm sure it was terrible, but it's that great memory that you have with it, you know. And so anyway, she found a place that they said they don't normally carry them, but they could order one. And so they ordered one and she went and picked it up. And I was like, and it was just as terrible as it sounds. It was really, really bad cake.
Yeah, I bet. I never had a birthday party anywhere other than at home. My mom would always make the cake. I just went to a couple, and usually it was like bowling alleys or something like that.
I had a lot of, well, I say a lot. I had a few birthday parties at the roller skating rink.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you'd have like all your, you know, take your buddies, like five or six people and you would, go roller skating. So we did that. There was a couple of years where, because my birthday was in the summer. So there were a couple of years where, I had a party at the house, but my parents had borrowed a tent from someone. And so we set up a tent in the backyard. So I had like this slumber party where we all just slept out in the backyard. And that's a cheap, if you're looking for cheap birthdays for children, just put a tent in the backyard. Cause I mean, at the time it seemed like a good idea. Now I just think maybe my parents were cheap.
Yeah, that's what we would do. We would put up a tent. My mom would make a cake. You know, she would either make like a rectangular rectangular cake, and she would use Necco wafers and then like string licorice to make balloons on the cake. Or she would get, remember they had the old pans shaped?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Pans? Those things, so those are super, well, they're not, I was looking on Craigslist the other day and I typed in Darth Vader and it came back Darth Vader cake pan. And anyway, so I found a guy that was selling like 10 of those cake pans and it was $75 for 10 of them. Which, you know, might not be super expensive, I guess. I mean, if you think, okay, well, you know, if you were to just buy them individually, but the Star Wars ones were separate and he wanted like $40 each.
Yeah. I think that goes with the times right now because such a resurgence of the films and stuff like that. But,
that's next year on the list. I want a Darth Vader cake.
Yeah. But it's just the pan. Then you have to have someone that actually can frost it. And it was like the way she would frost it would be with one of those, you know, the frosting bags.
Oh, the star tip. Would it be like little stars all over you?
And it was exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you didn't just smear it on with a
knife.
You know?
Yeah. It was just like a million. It looked like almost like a quilt patch, like just like doot, 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 doot. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of it, do you remember latch hooks?
Yeah.
I love latch hooks.
I think we had one that we had the same one that every single person had was like an owl or something, you know, like picture of an owl sitting on a branch or whatever. Like it seemed like everybody had that. Now I'll tell you something that I had as a kid and I can't find this online anywhere. I have searched for this. When I was a kid, I had, how can I explain this? It was like a framed picture. Okay. But it wasn't a canvas. It was like fabric. Okay. And it was a picture of a space station with a moon and some other stuff. Right. But then those things like the moon and that other stuff were came out like 3D because there was cotton inside it. You know, so I don't know if this is something that you made or if you just bought it, but it was like fabric. I mean, you could press it in and it felt like almost like pantyhose. You know what I mean? But with this picture of a space station, but there were parts of it that were 3D. So, I don't know if my mom had put like the cotton in there to stuff it to make those parts come out. But, it's one of those things, you know, like a lot of retro stuff like this. I don't know if I told you the story about this ice cream cup thing that I tracked down recently, but it's like these memories where you go, I remember having that. And then it's impossible if you don't know the brand name, it's hard. You know, if you just go Google 3D space picture cotton that was in my room, like you can't find it, you know?
I'm going to Google that exact search term.
You'll probably find my website, like me posting saying, find this thing for me.
I have to ask you, I'm sending you some links in the chat here. Are you getting those? Because some images I found, as we're talking of, I think what you were talking about with the carousel or merry-go-round and what I was talking about was actually like a carousel ride.
I didn't have the chat thing open.
Yeah. I'm not used to Google Hangouts, the newer version of it, but
yeah, they changed everything on us.
You know, I remember the posters. They had the black felt posters.
Yeah,
remember those?
Yeah,
those are pretty big at Spencer's. Did you guys have Spencer's down by you?
Yeah.
Had the naughty section.
Right. Yeah. For a while. Oh, here we go. Now I got the chat thing open here. Oh yeah, I see what you're talking about with the merry-go-round thing. Yeah, that's. Yeah, we didn't have anything like that. That's cool.
I'll put the images in the show notes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And that is the merry-go-round I was talking about with the, I get them all confused. I think it's, is that Mayor McCheese on top?
I think that's Mayor McCheese.
Yeah. And then there's like the little bars where you would just hang on to for dear life. And then there would be some kid who, I always thought it was like 27 years old, but I'm sure they were like 12, you know, they just seem old because we were little, you know, but they would come in and just spin that thing and you would just be holding on for dear life, you know, and you let go and it was AstroTurf City, man.
Yeah, we didn't have that. We had, there's a yellow one that you sat in. I just put a link into that, in the chat as well. That's what we had. And I think in place of that, but maybe I don't know. I'll have to ask. It's funny. I've talked about a couple of my neighbors, the Grant boys, and, their mom, I think, was a manager there for a while. So I'd have to ask them.
Ooh. It's almost like a big sit and spin kind of thing.
Is that what that is?
That's what it looks like. Like you would sit in there and maybe you would like hang onto that table and man, you know.
Yeah. You hang on to the middle part.
You know, spin. There was some, messes on aisle four. I mean, there's some kids that get in that thing with their Happy Meals and their fries and they're spinning that around. And then little Johnny's like, grabbing on and spilling his little small vanilla shake. Man, that was the best. If you could talk your mom into, instead of getting a drink, getting a shake. Yeah. So speaking of ice cream, I got to tell you this story. I don't think I've told you this story, but, every now and then, like something will hit me from my childhood, you know? And we were talking about like, my wife and I were talking about like, if we were a kid, like, well, let me just ask you this. Like, did you have a special cup that was yours, you know, when you were a kid? Like, was there one kind of cup that, you know, was just yours?
Maybe not. Yeah, we did have some.
Yeah.
There was a Fonz.
yeah.
It was like a plastic cup. It was like a plastic cup, like the size of like a coffee mug, but it was plastic. And then the picture of the Fonz was like inlaid between the layers of the actual plastic cup and then the clear plastic around it.
Okay. Well.
And I would use that one a lot.
When my sister and I were little kids, we had a pair of cups that looked like ice cream cones. So the bottom part, the bottom half was an ice cream cone. And then the top part, which came off, looked like a scoop of ice cream. And then on top of the ice cream, there was looked like chocolate that had been drizzled over it that also came off separately. Okay. So you could take I mean, what we would do is like whenever my mom would bring home ice cream or something, you would pop the top off and she'd put a scoop of ice cream in this cup and we would eat it, you know, out of these. But it also had a hole in the top for you to put a straw all the way through down in there. So like, man, if I was going to have breakfast and getting a cup of milk or something, I'd get my little ice cream cone cup, you know, and mine had a scoop of vanilla ice cream. And, my sister's, looked like, it was green, like lime sherbet, you know, so that's how you could tell them apart. And so it just hit me like, man, yeah, like all of a sudden I remembered this and I was like, man, I want to find this. And so searching for that, honestly, I thought of this like 5 years ago. Like I have been searching Google, searching all these places, and there's only, you can only type like ice cream cone cup or vintage ice cream, you know, and there's millions of them out there. And I didn't want one that was similar to mine. Like I wanted the exact same one, you know, and I've been searching and searching, and I found a lady on, I think I found the link on Pinterest, and she had linked to her Etsy shop, and she had one of those cups and sold it for $10. And I was just too late, you know. I emailed this lady, and this is true, and you will think I'm insane. I emailed this lady.
No, not by now.
Right, the secret's out. I emailed this lady and said, I want you to give me the name of the lady or whoever you sold it to. And she said, well, I couldn't do that, you know. And I told the lady, and she sold this for $10. I emailed this lady and told her, I will pay you $100 for that person's email address, and then I'm going to offer that person $100 for that cup. That's how serious I was about getting this cup. And you know who else thought I was crazy? My wife, because I told her.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Susan.
But I was like, I mean, I've been searching for this forever, and this is the only one I found, you know. And then the lady, like, never responded to me. She probably went into, the witness protection program, you know. So – I posted on Twitter earlier this year that a picture of that cup. And I was like, hey, has anybody seen this cup? And someone came back and said, there's one on eBay right now. But the difference was it was like Disney themed. So it was exactly like the one I had as a kid, but it had a sticker around it that had like Pluto and Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse on the actual cup, which mine didn't have. But I was like, you know what? That's close enough. And it was like, buy it now, $10. And I bought it immediately. So I got it. And it was like 99% like the one I had as a kid. You know, this was close enough. You know, it was, it had the sticker on there. I thought maybe someday I'll scrape the sticker off, you know, or whatever. So I saw my mom. And I showed it to her, and she was like, oh, I kind of remember that. And she kind of gave me a lead. She said she thought that maybe these were given away to people that hosted either Tupperware parties or Avon parties. And she hosted both of those when we were kids. So, you know, that was kind of like, well, you know, what we're using to search for this thing, you know.
So you did search like Tupperware ice cream cup. Yeah, you know. Wouldn't that be funny if you're like, no, I didn't, and you just did it right now?
So anyway, I mentioned this to my mom, right? The next weekend, I saw her, and she's like, oh, hey, I went to a garage sale. I found one of those cups you're looking for.
No way. It was identical. Same one, too, or different flavors?
It was
flavors?
Exactly the one I had. I mean, it was – and it was to the point where I was like, I think you're lying. Like I told her, I was like, are you sure that you didn't just like go out in the garage and like dig around and find like our old stuff from a childhood? But she said no. She actually found it. It had a sticker on the bottom for a quarter. So she, like, I've been searching for this thing for so many years, and then she just went to a garage sale and found it, you know, the next weekend. So now I've got both of them. They're both sitting up on the shelf, and you know, for retro, like if you're like that kind of person, you know, it's like, you get this rush, you get this sense of accomplishment, like you own it again. Like I finally have it, you know, and I sit down and I've got my little cup and I'm so happy. And then I'm just like, and I tweeted picture like of me drinking out of it, like, except for instead of ice cream, now I put a rum and Coke in there, you know, and,
of course, yeah.
Having a drink and I'm so happy. And I sit down in my chair and then I'm like, I wonder about those Flintstone glasses I had as a kid. And it never ends. It goes right to the next thing, you know?
You're right, man. You're absolutely right. And, you know, as you were talking about that, I did actually have a cup that was one that I specifically like to use, especially like on like the weekends if I was going to have soda and, you know, pretzels and watch a movie. And it was from Disney. My grandmother brought it back from Disney World because we're on the East Coast. And I've searched for this before, and I just did a search while you're talking as well, and I sent you a link. It's an orange. It looks like an orange with the green little leafy top, and you would stick a straw in there.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this.
The one
yeah.
I had a picture of – it had a picture of Mickey Mouse. This one I sent you has Mickey Mouse with sunglasses on, so it's not the same one. This has got to be something newer, but – I don't know what happened. And my mom, I've mentioned this, like my mom had kept everything, but that's one of the things along with the Atari and the Commodore 64 that are gone. But I remember that cup as well. And I remember a couple years ago searching for it, and I just couldn't find one the same. And I don't think my wife would really want me to get it, but
those are the kind of things that go in the man cave, you know, they go in your little private area.
Yeah.
I understand.
I still gotta build mine. I have the room. It's just I gotta frame it in, and I just haven't had time. But like I said, speaking of Disney, let's transition into what actually sparked us to do this tonight, and that is that we just saw Rogue One.
Yes, and I think you mentioned that the first episode that we did of 2016 was The Force Awakens. Is that right?
Yeah, The Force Awakens. It was easy to find because we've only put out 4 episodes. This will be episode 5 of the year, so definitely slow down this year. But yeah, I mean, to kind of.
But that's a good bookends, though. Star Wars on both ends. You know, that's a good way to start and end a year for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And it ended on a higher note than what it began because, you know, I didn't hold back on that movie. I was not a fan of Force Awakens. I don't feel that. I mean, obviously, we both, you know, love Star Wars, the original trilogy is what we grew up with, the prequels, you know, whatever. And we were really jazzed about The Force Awakens because we actually even when that first trailer came out, previous, I think it was around Thanksgiving or earlier. We were freaking out and everything. So I had really high expectations for that movie. And again, I just didn't like it. I didn't like the story behind it, but I'm not one because it's Star Wars that I have to be like, I love it because it's Star Wars. Like I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not like that. Just like Star Trek. Like I'm not huge into Star Trek, not because I'm like, you gotta be one or the other. Just, you know, just doesn't do it for me. But,
right.
So I will admit going, I've watched it twice. Going into the theater, I was being very pessimistic about it. I had very low expectations, and I didn't listen or read really anything going into this. I didn't want to get hyped up, or I just didn't want to know anything about it. And
I knew. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, like, I kind of went into it not expecting to like it, to be quite honest. And I walked out of there after the first viewing. I walked out of it, and I was like, yeah, it was good. It's good. Like that was kind of it, but I, well, go ahead with your initial thoughts on it.
I was just going to say like you, I probably defend Star Wars to a fault, you know, like, over the years, I have had to come to admit to myself that the prequels are not great movies. But even when they were getting bashed at the time, I was defending them. You know, people are like, oh, Jar Jar. I'm like, yeah, but the movie's not about Jar Jar. It's about these other things, you know. And so now that I can look back on those, I can say, eh. Not well. I think it's easy now. You know what I mean. But at the time, I get caught up in the Star Wars hype, and so I definitely felt that happening with The Force Awakens. Like, you know, when you go to a party and you have a great time, and you have a good time with your friends and everybody tells a story and there's good food, there's good drinks. And then at the end, one guy smashes his drink, punches somebody in the face and walks out. Like if you're trying to defend the party, you're not going to mention that. So you're going to be like, but wasn't that McDonald's cake very delicious? you know what I mean? Like you focus on the part you want to focus on, but 6 months later, when you talk about it, that's all anybody remembers is the fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so with The Force Awakens, when I saw it, like I focused on all the good stuff. Like I focused on, you know, oh, you got this, you got that, you know, it's all, you know, we're revisiting, you know, what's the state of the rebellion 30 years later, all, you know, so that's what I was focused on. But looking back, it's hard to get over, you know, the similarities. I mean, it almost feels like a reboot now. I think probably the, and we're talking, I am talking too much about The Force Awakens. I want to talk about Rogue One, but, I think the most telling thing is that I haven't like gone back and watched it a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. I saw it twice in a theater because my wife and I secretly went to go see Force Awakens. Then we went with my kids and then I watched it again after it had come out and I was like, yeah, walked away.
So I'm a little bit like you. With Rogue One, I was more cautious because I'm okay with myself at this age, at this state in my life where I don't have to love everything. Like, I don't have to defend Star Wars anymore. You know what I mean?
Right, and that's what I was saying, how I feel. I don't have to like it just because it's Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. After the first viewing, I liked it, but I also thought, like, I was trying to be analytical, you know, and as I was watching it, I was thinking, like, what parts of this movie are going to hold up over time and what parts aren't, you know, like, I think, like, when I walked away, my first thoughts were that the whole first act, you know, with, Jen, you know, as a kid and that whole, like it, all that stuff played out really slow, you know, like it was just kind of long and drawn out. And I was like, let's get to the Star Wars-y part, you know? It's been so long, it's hard to put ourselves in the perspective of someone coming new to Star Wars now. And what would they think when they saw Star Wars? Like, what's an R2-D2? What's a Death Star? You know, I mean, we just know what those things are. But I was like you. I didn't even watch the last couple of trailers. I didn't read anything online. So I went into Rogue One not knowing stuff. And I was confused, like, the first 15 or 20 minutes. They're like, now we're on another planet. Now here's some different people. Now we're on another planet. And I was like, I have no idea how these things relate. Now, like what you said, the second viewing, you understand how these relate. So you're not like trying to play catch up the whole time. And it kind of makes more sense.
Right. I mean, I still have issues with some of it. It's a movie. I generally do. But after watching it, when I started watching it for the second time, I was like, I'm kind of getting it. And I actually was kind of, I don't want to say I was dreading to watch it again, but I was kind of like not super jazzed about it, you know, because I liked the first one, but I went to the second viewing going, okay, I have to separate myself from getting upset with all the little drop-ins. I'm not a fan of that. Like the blue milk in the beginning where it just kind of showed it.
I see.
Camera panned on it, stayed on it for a second. I was like, okay, that's fine. But then when you start getting, I've got a bad feeling about this, or, you know, Tarkin with the exact, you may fire when ready. That, you know, like that kind of stuff. Or when you got, what is it? Pondo Baba or whatever. Yeah. Walrus, you know, Walrus, that yeah. I'm like, I said, okay, just ignore that stuff. Watch the story and everything. And once I separated myself from that, I really started to kind of actually notice things that I didn't notice the first viewing because I was sitting there kind of like just waiting for the next bullshit thing to be thrown in at me to connect me to the original. You know what I mean? So I was kind of just sitting there the whole viewing going like, all right, when am I going to go? This sucks. Like Force Awakens,
right?
Which happened a lot quicker.
Yeah. The Walrus Man, should we say, I don't think we need to say that there's spoilers at this point. I think if you're listening to the show,
yeah, well, we're not, yeah. And we're not reviewing it like we normally would scene by scene or anything like that.
But right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about the new Star Wars. If you haven't seen it, you might want to turn it off because we'll probably end the show after this anyways.
When they bumped shoulders, walking past, you know, with, a Walrus Man and, Dr. Vazian, whatever. But when they bumped into those, I always think like Star Wars is not just a city or a planet. I mean, it's a galaxy. It's a universe, you know? I mean, there are millions and millions, of planets and all. So to bump in, I mean, if you're like I expected to see R2-D2 and C-3PO, because we know that they're on the princess's ship, you know, so I expected some little thing. But when they, like the thing with Walrus Man, I was like, they're not on Tatooine. They're not, and I get the fact that they, you know, travel around and that they go to different cantinas and places or whatever. But I was like, what are the odds of them running into the exact same people?
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's the stuff that irks me, because I know some people find it that it's cute and they like the throwback, and that's fine. Everyone, you know, but for me personally, I don't want that. Like, I don't need that. And with 3PO and R2, they are in the end on Leia's ship, but they're also before that on Yavin 4, where they, you know, how come we're never allowed, like, really? Come on. Save it till the end scene where you know you're going to, it plays in for a reason
for
them
the
to
plot.
Be there.
It helps the plot later, yes, if you do it later. And before, it's just it's not tacky.
I just feel like it's cheap.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how I thought with the Walrus Man. Who else was, well, we need to talk. Let's talk about Tarkin. And so Governor Tarkin, or Grand Moff Tarkin, is in this movie, and not just a little bit. I mean, he's in this movie. He's a significant character. I looked it up. Peter Cushing died in 1994. So I didn't know exactly. I thought he had actually died earlier than that.
So did I would have thought that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. But, so the minute that we're watching, I mean, because you have this other bad guy and he's like, we're going to put together this giant gun for the Death Star. And so I thought he would be, you know, the guy that we're focusing on, that would be reporting to Darth Vader and what. So when I did not know, Tarkin was going to be in this movie. And when I saw him on screen, I immediately was like, Peter Cushing is dead. Like, I know that person is dead. And every scene he was in, I think half the time he was talking, I wasn't even listening to his words because I was just watching. I was like, how did they do this? You know? And so I was like watching the eyes, like, you know, is this old footage or is this CGI? And then after you watch it, you're like, oh yeah, it's obviously, it's really good CGI, but it's CGI, you know? And I'm watching his eyes and I'm watching his mouth and so I like, there was one conversation where afterwards I realized like I had not picked up on anything he said because I was just watching the CGI. You know, when people say it took me out of the movie, that did take me out of the movie because my brain shifted to doing this. Now, my wife, not a huge Star Wars person and has no idea who Peter Cushing is. And afterwards I said, what did you think of Peter Cushing? And she said, oh, which guy is that? And I said, he's the guy in gray, you know? And she said, oh, I thought he did a good job. And I was like, did you notice that he was CGI? And she said, no, I didn't even notice. So I thought it was really weird that because I know that Peter Cushing as a human being is passed away, that to me, that's all I could focus on. But for somebody that didn't know that, she was just watching the scene and not that specific person. And for her, it was passable.
Right. Yeah. You know, at first I was, I'll admit I even had an audible, really, but when I saw it, but then as it went on, I was like, you know, it's not too bad. I will say when they showed Princess Leia at the end, I thought there was something about her mouth that mm-hmm. her teeth that just looked, didn't work as well as the Peter Cushing, CG worked as it. But, again, you know, basing everything off my second viewing of it, I was really, I love the part that he played in it because he's such a big part in A New Hope. Mm-hmm. But you can also go like, well, who is this guy who is like kind of, I don't want to say defiant to Vader, but clearly isn't intimidated by Vader like everyone else is.
Right.
And he had such a big part in leading up to A New Hope and all that. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed that part of him. I thought that the director, Kinnick, was it?
Yeah.
His character, I thought, you know, it was like no matter where he went, it seemed like he was in charge of everything, you know, every ship or station or planet or wherever he went, he was like in charge. So his character, I was a little, I don't know, put off with to a degree at certain parts, you know. But I liked the Peter Cushing
mm-hmm.
parts. I thought it was all good.
Again, it's hard to remember what it was like because we were so young to be introduced to the Star Wars universe, you know. And even in the prequels, it was like, okay, Qui-Gon was new, but we know who Anakin Skywalker is. We know who the droids are. So we still had, you know, something to base. It was like a universe we're familiar with a couple of new people added. I mean, we still had Obi-Wan Kenobi. I mean, just a younger version. When they started adding people, I was like, when I left, I couldn't remember anybody's name in this movie other than Jin. You know, I mean, like, I was like, oh, there's the, you know, the monk guy, the blind monk.
Yeah.
There's the, you know, the, military guy or whatever, you know, there's there's the pilot guy. Like, I didn't know any of their names, you know, and maybe when we were kids, maybe I didn't know their names either. Like, I mean, because we bought action figures that had their names on it, or we saw the books and stuff.
On the back of the card.
Right. So maybe that's, you know, plays into that, but I was like, yeah, I don't really know anybody's name in this movie. Like, that was a weird feeling I had when I walked out.
Well, I'm still kind of like that. But then again, it's not, you know, 30 years later when I've seen the film.
Right, right. You know,
dozens and dozens of times either. So, but, I don't know. To kind of, is a whole thing, I honestly wish that this was what came out last year. Like, this is what I wanted the next generation of Star Wars films to be. So take, for instance, you have the prequels, mm-hmm. which is, there's a scene when in A New Hope where Obi-Wan Kenobi is explaining to Luke about the Clone Wars and fighting with his father alongside his father in the Clone Wars. And the prequels go through that era and how his transformation goes into Vader over three long political love story, boring CG movies, right?
Right.
Where this is a pretty cool movie that explains another part of A New Hope at the end where you're going, I know they got the plans, but how do they know that this reactor shaft, this little spot, like was the vulnerability in this massive planet killer. And so to take that and go, hey, let's make a movie explaining how that happened.
Right.
Well, with Jin's father putting that as the Easter egg. I thought it was very, very well done.
Yeah. Because, first of all, it's challenging to write and create a movie that fits right in the middle of other movies. You know what I mean? I mean, you have so many
Yeah.
You know, every line of dialogue, like you can't say, you know what I mean? And by the way, there's no such thing as an Ewok. That's a dumb example, but you know what I mean? Like you have to take into consideration everything that's going to happen after this and everything that's happened before this. So, to introduce something new, I mean, that's a new idea that the flaw in the Death Star was intentional. Then you have to, they did a lot of seamless weaving into the Star Wars universe. There's some things that didn't work. Because this movie is obviously designed, it ends basically where Star Wars A New Hope begins. So there's all these things like when Vader's talking to Leia in A New Hope and says, where are the transmissions, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, listen, I don't know what you're talking about. We're just in peace. We're on a diplomatic mission, blah, blah, blah. It's like, now we know that 5 minutes earlier, her ship was in a space battle with them. You know what I mean? So it just doesn't quite fit, but it's kind of nitpicking because you can, overall it fits really well. The big picture right. stuff all fits, and there's always just going to be those little tiny things, that don't line up. Now one thing I wanted to ask you about is, Darth Vader in this film. Let me ask you, what did you think about Vader?
I felt that he looked a little unfinished to a degree. I don't know what it was, but it's funny because a guy at work said, did you know something about Vader? I go, he just didn't seem finished. He's like, yeah, it just seemed like there's something missing. Mm-hmm. I seem to think that there was like a little chain going across from his cape in the other movies, but I think we were just watching A New Hope and I didn't remember seeing that.
Well,
so I don't know what it was.
I read let me just tell you real quick. I read like one of those AMA type things with the director. And one of the things he said is it would make sense if Darth Vader had multiple sets of armor. So they specifically made it a little, he was like, well, if he's like going to a ceremony, he would wear his good, like shiny this and that. Whereas if he was going into battle, he would wear his battle tested, So that he said they specifically made it where it wasn't identical to ones that we have seen in other ones. But I'm like you, where I'm like,
so is the matte finish.
Yes. Right. it goes well with this cape. Another throwback that they had done to other movies, when we see Vader at the beginning, he's floating in the Bacta tank.
Oh, the Bacta tank.
Yeah, yeah. Which, I don't know. What did you think about that?
I don't know. It was all right, I guess. I
just kind of thought it was unnecessary.
It didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Either way, it didn't really bother me. I just thought it was kind of weird, or not weird, but that the director was, going to Vader's castle or whatever by himself.
Why does Vader have a castle in the first place?
I don't know. I was reading up about it, and it seemed that, that was at the location, I guess, where on Mustafar. Maybe where he battled Obi-Wan Kenobi or something. I read something about that. Who knows? But then I thought about it. And I go, well, where's he supposed to be? He can't always be on the Death Star either. So he's got to have somewhere to go.
Yeah, I just figured he would always be on a Star Destroyer or something, But if you're the Dark Lord of the Sith and you're going to build a little home away from home, why would you build it on a volcano planet? I'd get some better real estate.
Yeah, especially a volcano planet that maimed you.
Right, exactly. It reminds me of the good old times when I lost my arms and legs. Yeah.
But, the one thing I thought about Vader was that it seemed like, I know it's James Earl Jones, I know he's older, but
yeah,
I mean, this is all computerized. It can get his voice to sound exactly the same, but I'm like, okay, I'll give him a little bit that it didn't sound quite the same. But I also thought that the speed of his speech was a little bit quicker.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't as slower. Yeah. And intimidating
I picked up on that for sure.
To me.
Totally agree. But the last 2 minutes of Vader coming through that door is like
amazing.
You know, we our whole lives we know that Darth Vader is this dark lord of the Sith. Like, we know he's a badass. We know, you know, all these things. And, you know, from especially in the original trilogy, we really don't see it. I mean, we see him, he doesn't do anything impressive when he fights Obi-Wan. You know, they're like equally matched, and Obi-Wan's an old man, you know. We have the lightsaber battles with Luke in 5 and 6. But again, you know, it's like a lot of posturing from Vader. Like, I'm going to stand here and look scary. But he doesn't do, you know, things. And especially, like, once we saw episode 1 with Darth Maul, and you're like, holy crap, like, this guy's a badass, you know.
This was equally matched.
Yeah. And when he comes through that door and those rebels are, you know, trying to hold him off, and he's just like force choking and throwing people and going nuts with that lightsaber. And I mean, I had goosebumps. I was like, this is the bad guy that Darth Vader has always been. We've just never seen it, you know? Oh man. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And it makes it now when you do watch A New Hope, and they board
the Corvette or
the ship name Tantive IV. When they're boarding it, and he's coming, you know, you see the guys are standing there with their laser guns or whatever, waiting for the doors to be blast doors to come open. Like, yeah, some shit just happened.
There are things in this movie that change the way that you look at, you know, the other movies and stuff in a good way. You know, like I said, this, you know, there's all these things that we talked about, like, the back to tank. It's a throwback. It's just a thing where they're like, oh yeah, I remember Luke having that. And now we see it somewhere else. You know, it's like, it doesn't really give you something for the plot. That scene with Darth Vader, when he comes through there, I was like, oh man, like, this is like, you get to see something that we never got to see. You know what I mean? My boys
loved that. They were like, man, that was scary, Dad. It was awesome. And it was, that part was really, really good.
If you think about the original trilogy, there's not that many parts where Darth Vader is scary. You know, the only thing I think of that's scary is like an Empire, where he shows up in that tree in Dagobah, you know, where Luke like cuts his head off or whatever.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
In the cave or whatever. You know what? It's more that intimidation factor, because from right off the bat, you know, he's choking people. So you're just like, wow. And he's very towering, tall. But yeah, this is definitely a cool part of it. And like I said, man, the one thing I really liked too was the fact that everyone died at the end, because it's been referenced before how many people died to get these plans.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I'm glad they all died, just because it showed that they sacrificed. What's that?
I said, Merry Christmas. I'm glad they all died. Yeah, I mean,
well, I mean, because I thought it played well, better than if, you know, Jin was to get away. And I don't know, man. I just thought it was like they knew what their purpose was for.
Well, you know, and like what rebellion. When we said, you know, when you're dovetailing into other Star Wars movies, you know, you hate to say it, but if people are still around, then you have to start asking, like, why have we never seen Jin or Cash, you know, all these other people in later movies? So now we know why, you know, I mean, because they don't make. Now, I did think it's interesting that we never see K2SO or those type of droids later on in Star Wars, because there's a lot of them in this movie. I mean, there's multiple of those, but you know, then again, you just go, oh, well, maybe they do some kind of work somewhere else. But I actually liked him as an addition. I thought he was, I liked what he brought to the movies a lot more than what C-3PO brings to the movies.
Yeah, I mean, he had like the number percentages and stuff like that, like a 3PO, but I guess maybe that's just because he's a droid and that's what they do, calculate numbers and, you know, predictions and stuff like that. So, but no, I like the character. I liked most of them. The director, like I said, I didn't like the fact that wherever he went, people seemed dumb and didn't know what to do, or he had to yell at them to, you know, to do things. And,
right.
Other than that, I mean, I really did enjoy the movie after watching it a second time. And like I said, I wish I'm still going to be pessimistic about the next episode 8 and episode 9. Like, I don't think I'll be a big fan of this trilogy, 7, 8, 9. And I'm not too keen on the fact of hearing that they're going to be doing a young Solo.
Right. Movie. Right. Yeah. That's like, the next anthology one. Yeah.
I don't need that.
Yeah. So this is my personal theory. I think that, okay. So when we had the original trilogy, it was a, you know, quote unquote space opera, and it was aimed at, you know, a certain age group of people. Right. So I think when they made the prequels, that the people that grew up with Star Wars obviously grew up, right? I mean, we were all 20 years older. So I think they had a problem with the prequels because they didn't know who their target audience was. I mean, is your target audience the people that grew up with Star Wars? Because then you can't make a kiddie movie, because we don't want kiddie movies, right? But if you're trying to shoot for the same original audience, then you're kind of like shutting out, you know, your original people. So I think that's part of the problem with the prequels, is that they didn't know, you know, the tone, what the right tone should be for those movies. Plus they were boring, which is a separate problem.
Right.
So I think what they're doing now, and I haven't read this, I mean, this is just my theory. I think what they're doing is episodes 7, 8, and 9 are going to continue to be like the original Star Wars movies. You know what I mean? They're still going to have
a Skywalker story.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're going to have kid jokes. There's always going to be, you know, there's going to be a BB, like there's no BB-8 really in, Rogue One. You know what I mean? Like in episodes 7, 8, 9, I guarantee you every movie is going to have something that's marketable to kids. You know what I mean? There's going to be something that's going to be on the shirts at Walmart that kids want to bring back BB-8 to school. What's that?
It'll be BB-8.
Yeah. Yeah. BB-8 or, you know, it'll be the next generation of whatever the Ewoks, or it'll be something that's marketable, you know?
Yeah.
But I think what they're doing, I hope what they're doing, is splitting these to where the anthology films are going to be marketed towards the people that grew up with Star Wars but have a more mature taste in movies. You know what I mean? A little bit darker films, a little bit. It doesn't have to be a happy ending. It doesn't have to be, everything wrapped up in a victory parade at the end. So maybe if they could separate those out, then we'll see, a separation. Maybe Star Wars isn't one size fits all anymore.
I don't know how you do that, knowing that, Han Solo obviously is going to make it out of anything that he's involved in, because we're going to see him.
Right. Yeah. I've read rumors that it's him and Lando, doing stuff, but I don't know that for a fact.
I don't know. I mean, I thought about this for this movie, and I didn't say anything. My wife bought the tickets, I think, 2 weeks early. I was not looking forward to going. I'm glad I've seen it now twice, and I was able to kind of set aside the things that kind of prevented me from really watching. Like, and I did that with Force Awakens. It's still, to me, just shit. I don't like it, but I don't know. I'm not really looking forward to much more after this, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I need to run out and go see it just because I didn't like episode 7. So I don't know what's going to be really done in episode 8. But, hey, I could be wrong.
Well, this is a topic that I wanted to bring up. As you know, as everybody knows, the whole world knows, Carrie Fisher passed away.
Right.
And it's amazing to me. First of all, there's so many tributes online, but very few of them are about Carrie Fisher. A lot of them are about Princess Leia and what that character meant to people. And it's a very powerful character. It's very empowering to women. When someone passes away, even if it's somebody I don't know Carrie Fisher personally, but there are certain things that you feel like kind of weird talking about. And when she passed away, and I'm not one of these people that's like, oh no, you know, when Prince passed away, I was like, oh, that's a bummer. What's for lunch? You know what I mean? I might have listened to Purple Rain that day, but I'm not setting up a purple shrine down in the, you know, in the foyer or whatever. But, when I saw that thing on my phone that Carrie Fisher passed away and I was talking to my wife, like I got choked up. I was like, I can't believe this, you know, like, so you have that reaction. And right after that, like I thought, this is kind of crude to talk about this soon, but I thought, how's this going to affect episodes 8 and 9? You know, because now they've already said that she has shot all her scenes for episode 8,
right?
But that doesn't mean that they can't be edited. I mean, we know that they could go back and.
You know. I would have to imagine that they probably, you know, depending on how episode 8 were to end, I would imagine something's going to have to be changed and altered to work that into the story. You know.
Yeah, because I mean, I felt like when Han Solo died in episode 7, and we know that, I mean, and Kylo Ren is obviously the new up and coming Sith, you know, and there's going to have to be some showdown. And at the end of episode 7, you know, we have found Luke. So I kind of thought maybe it would be Luke and Leia, the two remaining Skywalkers who bond together, you know, like she brings, and still, I mean, she could bring Luke back into the fold in episode 8, but they're going to have to address it. I do not want to see CGI Carrie Fisher in episode 9.
Well, that's a good possibility with the fact that they did do so well with Tarkin. They would have to do some, well, it would be her as an, you know, older Carrie Fisher character anyways, but.
Yeah. And maybe not as prominently, you know what I mean? And do you think that's disrespectful to someone that's just passed away? I mean, that's not loaded question. I'm just curious.
What do you mean to question that?
No, I mean like to say like if they're like, oh yeah, we're just gonna CGI and throw her in episode 9 too.
I think there probably would be some backlashing on it. I mean, to do, you know, Tarkin is one thing, but I think. Yeah, I think they're going to have to figure something out. I think I don't think the fans, to be honest, I don't think fans would really be down with her being done that way because even like Tarkin, it was like you had snippets of it, and I don't think they will. I think they're going to have to do something to.
Yeah, they'll have to address it somehow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I I don't think if you make a joke about Peter Cushing being dead, I don't think people say, oh, too soon. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's been long enough, you know. But I think with Carrie Fisher, it might still be a fresh cut, you know.
Right. Well, because, I mean, you've got Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, they are Star Wars from the beginning. You know what I mean? Like they're the main three. So to lose, you know, one of them is, I think it's, you know, it's a pretty big deal, for the, you know, Star Wars universe and fandom and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. So I have three more names for you.
Okay, and then we're going to start wrapping it up.
All right. From 2016. Kenny Baker from R2-D2, he passed away in 2000. Now, obviously, I think as time goes on, obviously, you know, I always felt like, you know, there are certain people, like, I think Carrie Fisher is irreplaceable. You know, you can't just throw another actress in there and say, oh, this is Princess Leia.
Absolutely not.
But I think, you know, the guy inside R2-D2, I mean, I love Kenny Baker, but I feel like it's not insurmountable.
Right. And to be honest, I mean, a lot of people that are Star Wars fans probably don't even know who Kenny Baker is unless they're more of a Star Wars fan.
I didn't, you know, the first time I saw him was in Time Bandits. Yeah. You ever see that movie, Time Bandits?
Yes, in the theaters.
Yeah. In fact, Jack Purvis is one of the other little people in Time Bandits. And Jack Purvis, if you look him up on IMDb, he is credited as Chief Jawa. And he is also Chief Ugnaught. And I'm sure he was, like everybody else, was probably an Ewok. I don't know. Have to look that up. But yeah, so we lost Kenny Baker this year. And then I saw one of these I knew and the other one I didn't know. I looked these up. Eric Bauersfeld passed away in April of this year. Eric Bauersfeld did not appear on screen, like we didn't see his face, but he provided a voice on Star Wars. Do you know what voice he provided? In fact, there are three words that I'm sure you know that are associated with his character.
I was going to say Jawa, but I think that's two words. Utini. Una Tuta Solo?
His words were, it's a trap.
Admiral.
He was the voice of Admiral Akbar. He passed away this year. And then the other Star Wars death that I saw for 2016 was Michael Leader. Michael Leader, you would not know his name. You would not recognize his face. And he is famous or memorable for one reason only.
Let me guess. I mean, he is the arm of Walrus Man in the cantina.
That would be great. You know what? It's even more obscure than that. He's the stormtrooper that hits his head.
Oh, he comes out, okay.
That's him. So he passed away this year. That's his claim to fame. There's a documentary.
How do they even know that?
Well, here's the thing. He told people that that's him. So I don't know that. I mean, and nobody else, I guess, tells that story. So,
yeah, nobody else staked a claim to it.
Took claim to it, right. There's a documentary on Netflix called Elstree 1975. And it just came out on Netflix over the last couple of months, and it's all these peripheral actors, like the lady who was in the like the person who played Greedo, this guy.
Is TK421 on there?
TK421 is not on there.
Does he explain why he wasn't at his station?
Well, that's the problem. They were going to interview him. And then when he showed up, he wasn't there. at the award ceremony at the end of Star Wars, where there's like the two guards, you know, like on the left and right, like one of those guards is in it. It's like all these people that are just like were in Star Wars for, you know, 5 seconds or something.
So now, it's all for Star Wars, though?
Yes. Yes, because this is the studio where they, you know, basically got all these people in London, you know, to come to the studio and do just small parts. There's a lot in it about David Prowse. David Prowse is in
Vader,
it.
Vader, right?
But most of the people are just, you know, these little bit players who, you know, and some of them are like, that's my claim to fame. You know, like I'm credited as guard number two.
They said, do you want a sandwich and some soup? Go put this outfit on and stand next to the Wookiee. Oh, wait, he's not up there.
They're like, well, it's raining outside in London and it's warm inside. Come put on a helmet. Come be in this movie. So, but yeah, so 2016 was a good year for Star Wars. Rough year for Star Wars. I don't know. It's, I think the, episode 7 just had too much to live up for, and it wasn't good enough to do it. You know, I mean, when you have 10 years between movies, and if it's not the best movie ever, it's just never going to live up to that. But, you know, now that we're getting these Star Wars movies once a year, maybe the expectations will be a little lower, and they'll try some different things, and it could be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of people that really like that movie, and, that's good. I mean, it's each their own. You know what I mean?
Diversified Star Wars. Yes. Yeah. Well, we got to do this again before another Star Wars movie comes out.
Yeah. So we've got, about a year. No, yeah, we'll figure something out. We'll get a movie or a more of a topic based episode. This is kind of just, I don't know. I had fun though. It was kind of cool. Just kind of jumping around and talking about some different stuff. But we'll figure something out. Hopefully, you know, people enjoyed the episode. Maybe they liked the jumping around a couple different topics. Who knows? We'll see if we get any feedback from it. But yeah, that's about it, man. We're gonna wrap this up. We've probably been going for quite some time, huh?
I haven't even been watching. Yeah,
yeah, we're almost an hour and a half. Well, I'll add it down to 40
minutes.
This
could be a commentary track for Rogue One. Just start the movie and then just start listening to this. But we might get to spoilers before they happen in the movie. So,
yeah, right. Oh, man. But this is fun. This is cool. I'm glad we got a chance to do this. Like I said, we've talked about it before. I mean, we talk on Voxer. But this was fun doing this. We definitely got to do it again, but I'm not making any promises as to what movie, when we're going to do it. But, I think, yeah, we'll do a movie next. We'll figure something out.
All right. Well, you know, since the last time we did a show, is when you started Negative Split. So maybe take just a couple seconds and tell people about that.
Yeah. Well, I used to do a running podcast, the Average Runner podcast. I've since more so ended that show, put it on the shelf, but kind of, well, I'm going to say put it on the shelf. It could come back in some capacity, but I do another running podcast, the Negative Splits, with my buddies Bill and Glenn. And we started it early this year, and it just really started to take off. We basically talk about our running and what we're doing, what we're training for. We do race recaps, but we also had a lot of interviews with if you're not into the running scene, maybe with people that you have no idea. But in the running scene, and mainly the trail and ultra scene, which ultras. Would be anything over marathon distance, 26.2, anything above that would be considered ultra. So we've had a lot of like ultra runners on. It's just been a really fun time being able to talk with these people and kind of grabbing stuff from the things they say to kind of trying to incorporate it in our own running, as far as like when you're facing different things, you know, here are these guys that are and girls that are doing amazing things. So, it's just a fun, I mean, if you're into running, check it out. Negative Splits podcast. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But it's been fun doing it.
Yeah. Is it a different feed than, Average Runner, or if people already have that feed? Well, okay. So there's a new feed people need to get. So
yeah. Yeah. You can just go to the Negative Splits, negativesplitspodcast.com. I'll put a link in there. I'm not even sure now.
Okay.
You definitely have to be into running. I mean, if you're not into running, it'd be kind of boring, but I really enjoy it. This is a huge year for me with my running, and it was great to be able to share it with those guys. I mean, they helped me out a lot. I don't want to say they're not coaches, but they've been motivating and taught me some stuff. And I mean, here it is, the 29th of December. And today, as a matter of fact, a couple hours ago, I hit my mileage goal for the year. Which I was sick, so I was afraid I wouldn't do that. I hit 1,400 miles for the year.
Wow.
So I had more than doubled last year. So
that's crazy, man.
Yeah, I couldn't believe I hit that. But
that's awesome.
It's been fun, you know, a good year of racing for me. I've been starting to take on more longer distance running, and 2017 is going to be no different. I've got three major races coming up throughout the year, so. If you're interested in hearing about that stuff, check out Negative Splits. We'll cover all that there.
Is there any retro running podcasts That's what we need, where you could like talk about old running shoes and like old like old races and stuff. And we could do this, man. I think there's a market for that. We could be like, you remember those Nikes with Velcro? those were good running shoes.
Yeah, I think that'd be a tough sell. But I will say, some of the people that we've interviewed that have been in the running scene for some time have had some pretty cool stories of older days when they used to tackle some races, and when before people really even knew what ultra running was.
Oh, I am sure the technology and stuff has changed. You know, I mean, the gear and the way that, I mean, they probably know a lot more about hydration and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally pampered compared to what some of these people, used to use back in the day, you know. And you know, I got bottles and I've got so much gear, man. I it's kind of my, you know, you like to buy lunch boxes from the 80s, and I like to get vests and any hydration, anything that for my running, I like to get. So
here's what you do. You want to do the next, you do a race retro style. You get some retro shoes, you get like some old school Nike stuff, and then instead you ditch all that hydration, those backpacks and all that. You take all your, I'll loan you some lunch boxes.
All right. I'll just carry the thermoses.
Well, on one, you know, you could put like some little, like a high C juice boxes in one, and then some little sandwiches and stuff. You cut them diagonal, you know, in the other. And I got lots of lunch boxes to choose from. So,
yeah, man. I just got to get a pair of like old shorty shorts, you know. And, and I'll be in business. But
sweet.
What about you? You've been on a little hiatus for a while. You had one little blip come out, but.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, just with finishing the last semester and stuff, and I've got some notes to put together for another show I'd like to get out before, you know, go back to work next week after the break. So hopefully I can get out another episode. But yeah, you know, if you want to see what's going on with me, go to RobOHara.com. There's always updates of whatever, you know, or any of the Facebook stuff or Twitter, you know, just come find us. And I don't think either one of us are we're not hard to find. We're all over the place.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. And one place you can go is the Throwback Network. You know, that's the network we started a few years back. It's kind of self-maintaining at this point, but it's nice because, you know, we all just on our own shows, you know, guys that are on the network, plug the network, and kind of just a word of mouth thing to find other great podcasts. So we have so many good ones over there. And, so definitely check that out if you haven't by now. But maybe you're just finding us and by someone else on the network, which is, what we want, you know, spread the word and share the retro scene together. But, anyways, that's going to wrap this up. Keep an eye out on Facebook. Like I said, like Rob said, probably follow him more. There'll be more updates that way if something's coming on, but we'll definitely try to get something out at some point here, figure something out. But anyways, Rob, this was fun, man. Thanks for meeting up with me on Google Plus here.
Yeah, had a blast, man. Anytime we're going to talk about, all you got to do is say, hey, you want to come online and talk about Star Wars and old stuff? And I'm there, buddy.
Yep. Sounds good, man. All right, guys. Thanks for coming back to Throwback Reviews, and we hope to see you guys soon. If you'd like to contact the show, you can send us an email at feedback@throwbackreviews.com or leave us a message on our voicemail at 716-243-2709. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/throwbackreviewspodcast and Twitter @throwbackreview. And don't forget, we're also part of the Throwback Network. Go to throwbacknetwork.net to find more retro podcasts.